I give you Moreinu Harav Zevulun Chalam. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for your very overflowing introduction, and most will precious Hanasi, and it's always been very kind, and I'm very grateful for the very special relationship that we enjoy, and of course to the Hausman family. I was here since the beginning of the Hausman Lectures. I believe this is the 23rd lecture. I was here for the first, if I remember, Dr. Lamb spoke at that time. And this will be the third time that I'm speaking for the Hausman Lecture Series. The first time was early on, and then once I substituted for Rabbi Meir Twersky, 5 years, 6 years ago, I don't recall exactly when, and then today. So I've had three occasions where I was able to speak to the Talmidim and to the guests that come here. I want to tell you, the President spoke about the web. I already had about four or five people met me or called me on the phone. Rabbi Chalap, I'm going to be with you, but I'm going to see you on the web. So I don't know if it's a good excuse or not, but I'm grateful, and of course grateful to you for your lovely introduction. And Rabbi Reback is one of the model Rabbanim in America. Not only he serves as the president of the Rabbinic Alumni, he didn't serve in any position. He would be that same rabbi. We're very happy. And of course, I'm happy to see Rabbi Blau here, Hamashiach Ruchni, and of course, our Rashi Yeshiva. I am afraid to start. I'll just begin with, I see Rabbi Simon staring me in the face. I can't help that. And I see our Ezra Schwartz, who is our associate Bochen. And of course, Dr. Herbert Dobrinsky, who has been a mainstay of the yeshiva. When I say yeshiva, the whole yeshiva university, but at the yeshiva particularly. I cannot enumerate the many times we've had to turn to him over the years, and he never failed us. And he never failed yeshiva either. I'd like to speak today about tshuva, which is an obvious subject. And I just see that I can't see it too well. But you will see the first, number one. The Rambam, the first line at the top is very important here. Mitzvah asei, achas, hilchas tshuva. And tshuva, of course, you know, you find in the first of the 14 books of the Rambam. The Rambam's Yad HaChazaka consists of 14 svarim. The first sefer is Sefer Madah. The last chelik, the last chapter of Sefer Madah is, and I'm going to go back to through the whole Rambam today, and I'm not joking. In fact, I'll have somebody close the doors. And what's going to be important, I think, in the end, it'll take a long while, but I'll go from station to station to station, me inyan, le inyan, ba'oso inyan, one matter to another, but hoping that all of them tie in, and that you'll be able to follow me as I do this. The Rambam says, mitzvah se'achas. And this is the way he begins. Every time he begins a special section of one of the svarim, he gives you the number of mitzvot that this svarim, that this sefer is going to discuss. And when he says, Hilchos Tshuva, there's only one mitzvah. And the language is very strange. Over here I see that the ones who made this, and I'm very grateful to them, it says, it's Vehi, and he has it here, Vehi, although you find it in all the Rambam, that is Vehi, but you find it as Vehu, Hey, Vav, Aleph. But over here, but Vehi, she Yoshev Hachote, Micheto, Lifnei Hashem, Yisvade. It's that he should return from his sin, he should turn around from his sin, the sinner, and he has to confess. And as you'll see in the Rambam, the only mitzvah that relates to the mitzvah of tshuva is this mitzvah of confession. There is no particular mitzvah, it would seem, of tshuva, returning by itself. But the main mitzvah is confession. And then we're going to go and I'll explain to you. So just read it. Kol mitzvah shebetorah, ben eseh ben lo seseh, every mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's a positive commandment or a negative commandment. Imavar adam al achas mehem, if man transgressed against any of these, positive or negative, ben bezadon, ben bishgogah, whether he did it deliberately or did it accidentally. Kishe yaseh tshuva, when he does tshuva, the Yoshev Mecheto, and he repents and he turns away from his sin, Chayev Lisvados. he has to confess. And then later on, I have it underlined here, Vidu zeh mitzvah zeh. That's the only mitzvah of tshuva. What I said until now, most of you know, and it's not very startling. The Minchas Chinuch is altogether startling. It's almost preposterous. Minchas Chinuch says that tshuva is not a mitzvah chiyuvus, that it's not an obligatory mitzvah. And I say, how can you say it's such an outrageous thing to say? We have Aseres Yemei Tshuva now. We have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the holiest days in the year. And even though they're the holiest days in the year, we have 10 days in between. In all our lives, we're told that tshuva is the most important thing, to return. And we have Hiruei Tshuva, we have promptings of tshuva. And here comes the Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch says that it isn't. It isn't a mitzvah. It's not obligatory. It's an optional if you want to do it. And what kind of optional mitzvah is it? He says, if you don't do it, you don't get a sin. You won't get the mitzvah. You get a special mitzvah, you do tshuva. Like any other mitzvah you do. You put on tefillin, you get a mitzvah putting on tefillin. If you don't put on tefillin, it's punishable. You get an onish. And you violate something. But if you don't do tshuva, you just didn't do a mitzvah. And we know that there are many mitzvahs I say that you have to do. Like tefillin, keeping Shabbos, other things. You have to do. If you don't do it, it can be a capital sin. And yet he says that tshuva is not the capital sin at all. It's nothing. You do it, you have a mitzvah. You don't do it, and he says, what is it like? So he says, first of all, it's like tzitzis. You know, tzitzis, you have four corners. Today, the Chachomim say that you have to put on tzitzis. God forbid, if God is angry and he sees you're not wearing tzitzis, it won't go so well with you. But otherwise, the only time we're really are required to put on tzitzis is we're wearing a four-cornered garment. Now we put a little talis cotton, because through the years the rabbis have insisted that we do that, and for the purpose, for the reason I give you. But he says, so this is like tzitzis too, but it's even more, it's less than tzitzis. He says, you know what mitzvah tshuva is like? And he repeats it over and over again. Mitzvah tshuva is like getting divorced. It's the same mitzvah as a get. Could you imagine and that's what he underlines over and over again, about three or four times, that mitzvah tshuva is like mitzvah gerush. It's the kind of optional mitzvah. It's an optional thing. There's no law that you must divorce your wife. If you want to divorce your wife, the Torah says it's a mitzvah, not a mitzvah to divorce her, to do it in this way. So you go to show, so, and I have it later on, through Egypt, with a sefer. He has to write a get. You can't divorce the wife. Just said, I'm finished with you. Goodbye, dear. Or he may not even say dear. But we say goodbye. And that's it. See, so that mitzvah is an optional mitzvah. Everybody knows that it's not a mandatory mitzvah. You must divorce your wife. And he says that tshuva is the same mitzvah. Tshuva is the same mitzvah as gerushin. Which to me, as I say, is preposterous. How can you say that? And he's going over and over. He says, those people who don't say that don't know what they're talking about. And you have to know who the Minchas Chinuch is. The Minchas Chinuch lived about 200, 250 years ago. And even though he lived quite recently, when we count and reckon time in the Jewish calendar, and he's way after the Rishonim, and he's way after the early Achronim, but as a commentator on the Rambam, he is probably, through when he goes over the Chinuch, he's really a commentary on the Chinuch. But most of his commentary touches the Rambam. He's really the most important commentary. I remember when I used to speak to Rabbi Soloveitchik, I used to call him up out of Yom Kippur. And I'd say, Rebbe, how's everything? Good. I wish you a Gemara Sima Tov. And then he would say, if it happens to be that Yom Kippur, that the time I called him happened to be before Shabbos Tshuva, he would say to me, Shabbos Tshuva. He'd say, Rabbi Chalat, what do you say for Shabbos Tshuva? And then I used to say, no matter what I ever said to him, oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then one time I said, you know, I said, two different times, but I'll tell you, once I told him, I said, you know, I have a Dvar Torah here, and it's really, I find it, and Reb Chaim says something, and it sounds like Reb Chaim, and he makes two dinim, you know, two different laws. He's able to analyze it and separate one from the other, an opposite with a positive, and bring them together through a synthesis. It's almost a dialectic of halacha, and he brings them together like this. And I said, it sounds just like Reb Chaim. He said, I want you to know, Rabbi Chalav, that first Reb Chaim wrote notes on the Minchas Chinuch. He has the whole Magbarot on the Minchas Chinuch. Did you ever hear that too? You heard that too? I don't hear it. So he said, he had Magbarot. And after he had all these Magbarot to the Minchas Chinuch, he then out of that distilled and, of course, added his own insights, which are tremendous, and revolutionized Torah learning in the last century. So he would then, that's how he came out, Reb Chaim. It's true that one time I called him up and I found something in the Shagas Ayur. And the Shagas Ayur, the same thing. I found the Shagas Ayur had the same chiluk that the Vish Pisk had, the Piskei chiluk. And I told him that. So he said to me, Reb Chaim even wrote on all the Shagas Ayur, he has notes on all the Shagas Ayur. And out of that he distilled it. So he distilled it. So this is who the Minchas Chinuch was. He understood the Rambam, certainly the last 20 years, better than anybody. And he was the most exhaustive commentator on the Rambam, even though he was directly going on the Chinuch. So here he spends time, says, the Rambam says, we know that it's not a mandatory mitzvah. It's like getting. It's not obligatory to divorce your wife, but if you divorce your wife, this is the way you do it. It's not obligatory to repent, but if you do it, this is the way you have to do it. You should have to confess by words. This is what he says. And he said, if you don't do it, you don't need a kapara for it. It's not an avera. There's no onish for it. You just don't get this mitzvah. So first of all, I want to explain, how does the Minchas Chinuch make such an astounding assertion? And it seems to me that there are three truths I want to give. I can't really see what I'm writing here, so I'm just have to say from memory. The first thing is, you know, I used to hear it. I used to walk through the hallways of, not in yeshiva, chas v'chalila, but in the streets. And about 20 years ago, there was a saying, and it was a saying that must have come out of some literature, or some movie or something. It was, love is never having to say you're sorry. Love is never having to say you're sorry. And that's what Kosh Baruch Hu says. So a man in 50 years is a Mechal Shabbos, Ochel Levelos and Trefus, and he does a lot of other things that I don't want to describe over here, and he's not honest in business, and every sin that you can imagine between man and man and God, he's committed. And suddenly, after 50 years, he suddenly says, you know, I'm now going to, yeah, to himself, he doesn't make any confession, he doesn't make any shuvah, he doesn't say he's even sorry, he indicates through his action, he becomes an absolute Shomer Shabbos. He only eats kosher. He keeps every law. He's honest to his fellow man and honest to the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves us too. He says, love is never having to say, you're sorry. That's one way of interpreting it. But you have to become a Baal Tshuva. You become a Baal Tshuva, not necessarily through the act of the Tshuva. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an act of Tshuva, and we're going to come to it. But it really means much more. We have to make the Tshuva. And most of us say it, and we mean it. And next year we're back exactly where we started the year before. And that's really the challenge. The second answer is a different one. And that is that, and there's a problem at the beginning on the Minchas Chinuch, so I'm going to interpret it. Because the Rambam, in Perek, and I have it over here, in Hilchas Tshuva, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Hay says, that you should know that all the Nevi'im, all the prophets prophesy, that we will not get Geula, we will not have Yeshua, unless we make Tshuva. We have to have Tshuva. You find it there. You have to make Tshuva. So, if the Rambam says that, so how can he say that Tshuva is not obligatory? We have to make tshuva. The Rambam says it specifically. So one answer is, a simple answer, a balabatish answer, as we say, is to say, well, he says you have to make tshuva too, but it doesn't mean you have to say vidu, not the kind of tshuva that the Rambam means here. I mean, if a man is not observing the Torah, and suddenly he observes the Torah, and he never made tshuva officially, formally, that's really a tshuva, about tshuva. And that could bring the gula of every Jew who didn't keep Shabbos, and every Jew who wasn't honest in his business dealings, and every Jew who wasn't really honest in his relations to his family, etc., etc., and suddenly becomes honest with all these, and he never said, I'm sorry, openly with his mouth, God will forgive him, and that's tshuva already. The action is tshuva. And that could bring on to the gula. That's one teretz. A second answer is, that at the end of the Rambam, at the very end of his 14 volumes, in the very last halacha, and that's Yud Beis in Melachim, at the very end, he talks about, in very precise terms, about the days of Mashiach, how the end of days are going to be. And what is the Mashiach? And he believes in it. It's going to be all natural. There are not going to be any changes between the world as we know it today and the world as we will know it in Mirta Hashem B'Korov V'Yameinu when Mashiach comes. Here we just say. Except in certain areas. And then suddenly he says, at the end, most people don't even ever remember, I mean, repeat it and say it. He said, but I want you to know, all that I've said here, he didn't say all I said, that anybody says here, we really don't know how it's going to be. Because there are so many different psukim, and they're contradictory psukim and verses in various parts of the Torah, and that we don't understand them. But all the Talmidei Chachamim, he says, all the Chachamim, meaning the rabbis and the Gemara, they had this view and had this view, and he had sifted through the various views, and he picked one view against another view. So he said this view, and he said, the truth is, we don't know. We'll only know when it'll happen. So it seems to me that we can answer that Rambam, even though the Rambam at that moment felt that, and that was his personal view, that in order to have Gula, you have to have Tshuva, and that has to do with the oncoming of the Messianic times. Nonetheless, at the end, he says, and I think what he says at the very end of the Yad HaChazaka, it's the furthest way, because this is the beginning, the Tshuva is in Magda, this is all the way in Melachim, in Shoftim. And that's the last Sefer. So there he says, that really we don't know the end. So we can't really ask a question on the Mitzvah Tchinuch, although the first Teretz, I think, is a good Teretz too. The third answer, and by the way, this is only a preliminary or prelude to another prelude. The third answer is one that I heard in the name of Rav Cook, and I must tell you I was looking for it and I couldn't locate it. And that is that Rav Cook said that tshuva is the spiritual air we breathe. And I think I know what he meant. That we can't suppress altogether here at tshuva. It could be the worst Russia. It could be a Russia Gomor. But he gets the Uru from time to time. It's got to come. He's able to summon it. He's able to submerge it. He's able to bury it deep in his heart, make believe he doesn't know. But they've got to emerge. They come. And that's what, one of the questions that I think the Rambam says in the introduction of Mishnayos, Perush Mishnayos in his commentary on all the Mishnah. So he says, we have six orders in the Mishnah. Shas and Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So he says, why do we begin with the agricultural laws? Why do we begin with Israel? And I know that if we asked any Rosh Yeshiva today, and we would write the Mishnayos today, the first thing would be probably Kochin. After Kochin, we would have Taros. And then I think Zroya would be the last. So why do we really begin with Zroya? He said, because what is the first mitzvah of life? And he may say it in a little different way. What is the first mitzvah of life? Everybody, what is the first mitzvah of the Torah? Parable, right? You're wrong. Because the first mitzvah of life, and that's what he says in the Rambam, what he's telling us is to live. You can't perform any mitzvah without being alive. So therefore, we have to begin with the agricultural laws, because we can't live without that. Once we begin with the agricultural laws, then we have the first besech, the first gemara is bracha, because before you eat, you have to make a bracha. That's why we have brachas. So Rav Cook, it seems to me, was saying, I haven't been able to find the source, that the spiritual air or atmosphere from which the Jew must breathe, that's the Hirurei Tshuva, and it never stops. It's unceasing. It's not only in a Jew, it must be in every man, I would believe. I'm not sure. But it has to be in every Jew. And he says, therefore it says in the Rambam, and he's using the Rambam here, he says, she yoshuv hachote v'cheto. And if you read the Rambam inside, and I underlined it over here, kishi yaseh tshuva, and he underlined, and he points to this, if my memory serves me correctly, if it serves me correctly, kishi yaseh tshuva, when he will make tshuva. It doesn't say that if he makes tshuva. In yaseh tshuva, this is the way to do it. He's saying, Kishe Yaseh Tshuva. He has no doubt that every Jew has the Hirurim of Tshuva. And when I talk about Hirurim, don't think I'm just doing it lightly. We have a Gemara in Kedushin, in the men's in Kedushin. Gemara says a man comes over to a woman, he takes a fancy, he happens to be a Rosh Gomor. He's the vilest villain in the world. And he suddenly sees this woman, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with him because he's a Rosh Gomor. So he says to her, Areyah, Kadeshusly, you are my, on the condition, Amanash, that I'm going to be a Tzadik Gomor. So the rabbis say, there are two versions in the Rambam. if it says Safek Mekudeshes or Mekudeshes. But I think the final version is, and certainly that's the one that it's Mekudeshes. It's considered a good marriage. Here we had a man, he was a murderer, he was the head of the mafia. He did everything you can probably imagine and possibly imagine was wrong. His whole life was this way. And suddenly he said, so the next day, she sees already who he is. So she got to get a divorce from him. And she can't say, well, that marriage wasn't. He said, I married him, and I accepted his marriage. And he said to me, on the basis that I will become a tzaddik gomer. So it's obvious he didn't become a tzaddik gomer. So the rabbi said, what do you mean? He may have had a hirut tshuva at that night, or that moment when he said it. And he had a hirut tshuva, that's enough. That's true. So the Midrash Chinuch brings that too. And he says, that hirut tshuva. See, there's no words involved. And it's nothing. It's already mekudeshes. We have to believe that there was a split second. That split second, he really felt he was going to be a tzaddik gomer. And that's an unbelievable thing. So this is a third answer. That the reason is the Rambam understands it, kishi yashuv. That it isn't, the reason he says over here that it's not really a mitzvah in the regular sense is because a mitzvah says I have choice, bechira. Here is one mitzvah, maybe I don't have bechira. That I want to do tshuva, everybody has a hero tshuva. And that itself already is a form of tshuva. I want to go one further, and I mean, this is going to be a little bit of an odyssey. And I found something, I wrote about this in a mimer about 20 years ago, and period, it's in a revised mimer, article of mine, which will appear in the Kotzvi now. And that has to do with, I found something remarkable. When I was first toying with this idea, which I'll tell you, this is about 20 years ago, and we're going much further than that. I looked at the various kotrim, you know, the headings of the Rambam, and I said, that's very important, that's very critical. I just hope I find it here. Okay. Open up to your, I don't know, it must be the third page, or page 7, it says, I'm sure. Gimel. I found something very remarkable. And I thought I had it. Next year I found out a year later that I didn't have it. I overlooked something. But I had something better. You see the bottom where it says Gimel? It says Hilchos Deus. So this is, we begin, the first thing we have Sefer in Mador, in the book of Mador, you have many different chapters. And the first thing you're taking it is Hilchos Deus. Yesh Bechlolo, and this is the style of the Rambam, that with regard to this mitzvah, there are mitzvah of knowing, of knowledge, of midos, of what we have to do, what we have the fundamental laws of Yahadus. There are 11 mitzvahs. Chamesh mitzvahs ese, 5 mitzvahs which are positive commandments, v'shesh mitzvahs losaseh, and 6 in losaseh. I'm only dealing now with the positive commandments, because tshuva is a positive commandment, everything I told you. And gerushin is also a positive commandment. If you want to divorce your wife, this is the way you divorce her. Listen to me and follow it yourself. Lihidamos betochav, to try to imitate God, imitatio dei. Lihidovek biyodav, to cleave on to those who know him, the great tachachamim who know him. Lehov esrayim, to love your fellow man. Lehov esagerim, to love the converts. Shelo lisno achim, not to hate brothers. Lochiach, if you see somebody doing something, you want to have the power and the courage to reprimand it. Shelo lahal ben panim, but never to embarrass someone, never to shame someone. Shelo lanos Amilin, that you shouldn't really respond to tax. Shalom la'aloch rachil, never give lashon hara. No, I'm sorry, I should leave all these out. These are the shalos, that's why. I'm just doing, I want to do only the positive, the 5 positive. Hidamos bedrochav, lahadvik biyodav, lehov es reyim, lehov es agerim. Those are the 5. 5. Lidamos bedrochav, lehidavik biyodav, that's 2. Lehov es reyim is 3. Lehov es agerim is 4. And then, and Lochich is 5. Okay. Next one, Hilchos Yisrael. I'm not doing them all. I'm just taking a sampling of some of this. Yesh b'chlolo eser mitzvah. Shesh mitzvah. Say, the foundations of Torah. There are six positive commands. One of the positive, Leida Shiyesh Shem Elokha, to know that there is a God. Shelo Yalav Achshav Shiyesh Shem Elokha Zulosi Hashem, and it should never enter your mind that there is another God in addition to this God. Liyachado, to make him one. Lahavo, to love him. Liyirah Mimenu, to fear him. Lekadesh Shemo, to sanctify his name. Now I want you to listen to what I'm saying, because I'm going to ask you a question here. Then he says, I went through all the mitzvahs of that you have. I didn't have them here. I only have partially of them here. And then I went into Zmanin. The next thing was, I did Abba and I did Madra. Those are two Sfarim. Then I went to the third Sefer. And the third Sefer is Zmanin. Zmanin had to do with all holidays, with Shabbos, with Rosh Hashanah, with Yom Kippur, with Sukkot, with every holiday. So, and this is exactly, I'm not only giving you some examples, but the model is the same. Hilchos Shvisas Asur. Yesh Bechlom Arba Mitzvos. There are four commandments. Shtei Mitzvos Asay, or Shtei Mitzvos Asay. There are two commandments that are positive. I'm only involved now with the positive commandments. What are they? Lishbos Bo B'mlocho, that you should stop or work cessation of work. Shalola, then he goes, the last one is, the next one is, Lisanos Bo, to fast on it. That's on Yom Kippur, you have to do, those are the two commandments. Not to do work, and to fast on it. Then you go, okay, I'll come back to the other one. I went through all the parts of Mada, of Hava, and Ismanim, and I found that it was a remarkable thing. What is it? How does the Rambam articulate the heading all the time? It's direct. Le, 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 le. Everyone begins to do it, to do it, to do this, to do that, to do this, to do that. The only place in the first three books of the Rambam where he doesn't have le is the one that we talked about. Shiyase tshuva, who shiyase tshuva, because Shiyoshua, when he, Shiyase, which begins with a shin. It is the only place. And I said, oh my God, I came upon a great discovery. That the Rambam all the time begins with look directly, and they say Sheh, when, or Keshe. And then I kept on going, not that year I had enough already, the next year. And I wanted to, well, during the year, I started to go further on. So I went further on, and I come to Kedushin, and I see all Nashim, the next Sefer is Nashim of his, that's the fourth Sefer of his. And I come to Nashim, and everything is look. Until he comes to divorces, until he comes to Gerushin. There he says, when a man, and I think you have it over here, Mitzvah Sei Achas, it says, Hilchas, Gerushin, if, I can't find it, but you find it here, I have it here. Right here? Hilchas Gerushin, Shtei Mitzvahs, there are two Mitzvahs. Achas Mitzvah Asei, there's only one positive commandment with divorce. Vehu, Vehi, She yegaresh hamegaresh mesefer. That the one who divorces his wife should divorce her with a get. We say with a book. That's the only one. So it took all the way from tshuva to go three books in every other mitzvah. Must be 100 mitzvahs we covered. All the yomtiv and everything else, at least. And suddenly we find again sheh, the shin over there. There's a difference over here. It's kesheh and over there sheh, which is a fundamental difference. The mitzvah shechina didn't say it. But you see that there is a connection here between tshuva and this. And Mitzvah Simich understood it to mean that it wasn't obligatory. And I wanted to, and I'll go to that further. The next year I started going, I said, I'm going to go through the whole Rambam. And I went through the entire Rambam. And I suddenly discovered that although in the first three, four books there's only one case, but afterwards you'll find 31 cases where it says sheh. Not one case, 31. So I started to do all the cases, and began to analyze them. It's never been done, as far as I know. Nobody ever even thought of it. And that's why I'm concerned about it, because nobody ever thought of it. I'm probably wrong. But they got to be principles here. And I found five principles. I'm going to spare you, tell you only four of the five. But I'm really only tell you the first two that I want to tell, which have to do with us. And the first thing is, that if there is a mitzvah that is addressed to an individual or to a group, a singular group of individuals, then it'll always be sheh.
If it's a mitzvah that's addressed to all Jews, then it's la. All the mitzvahs that you have here that are la are mitzvahs addressed to all Jews, irrespective. If they're Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, whatever you have. But if it's addressed to one group, if it's addressed to a chayte, as we have, if it's addressed to a tome, whatever it is, it's sheh. There is an exception to this rule. We mean there are several halachas, and that's going to be very important, and I'm going to spend some time on that pretty shortly to prove this point. And that is, you can sometimes have a mitzvah addressed to one individual, or to a group of individuals, and yet it'll be learned. When that individual impacts, and what he does, and his special job, his special duty, impacts upon the totality of the Jewish people, then it's like he's speaking to the whole Jewish people. And I was so convinced about it, I'm going to tell you where you'll see it. So, the next one is Hilchos Tmidim Lusofet. This has to do with the Korbanos in Sefer Avodah. He says over here, these have to do with the sacrifices, the daily sacrifice and the Musaf sacrifice. And I found over here, Yesh B'Klolah, Chasrei Mitzvah. There are 19 mitzvahs in the laws of sacrifice, of the daily sacrifice. The Tumid is the everyday sacrifice, the perpetual sacrifice, but every morning, it was the first sacrifice in the morning, it began the sacrifice, and then it was the last sacrifice. And then Musa, when you have special holidays, you have to bring a special korban, and of course we have the Musa prayer because of that. And it says, there are 19 mitzvahs, Shemona Esrei, 18 of the 19 mitzvahs, a say, a positive command. Va'achas mitzvahs lo saser. And one is the mitzvah lo saser. And there's only one negative command. But I'm only interested in the positive commands. And let's go over them, if I can see them. La'akriv, shnei kvasim b'chol yom olos. You have to sacrifice two sheep every day. One in the morning, one in the evening. La'akriv. La'ablik eish al der. To put a fire on the altar. Shelo l'chaboso. That's a negative command. That's the only negative command you have there. Then Yalahorim is a deshim b'chol yom, to take out the burnt ashes every day. La'aktir Torah to light up the frankincense, the odor, the special fragrance that filled the temple. And then it says, La'adlik Neros, you have to light the menorah. This is the only one that you find a sheh. Sheh Yakriv Kohen Gadol Mincha Torah b'chol yom. He has to bring an offering, a meal offering every day. That's either pancakes or cakes, some cakes that he had to make every day. And I'll get to that. That is laos if shnei kvasim olos b'shabbos. You have to have two kvasim on Shabbos to add to them. Lasos lechem pan, to make the shoe bread. They used to bake the bread, they put it in the temple, and it remained warm and remained fresh the entire week, and then it was replaced for the next week. And then he said, then the others are Musaf Rosh Chodeshim, but these are not commandments. He just tells you what the Nusach is of Musaf, and he goes on, and then Lahavi Shtei Alechem, to bring the two bread on Shavuos. So every positive commandment, Musaf is not a positive, it just tells you how to do it. But every positive commandment here he has so many, they're all look. The only one is Sheh. Is there a problem with Sheh after what I told you before? There's a problem. Because the Kohen Gadol, he represents the entire Jewish people. And I said that if it is a mitzvah, even if it's directed at one person, but if that mitzvah, he impacts upon the whole community. On Yom Kippur, for example. The whole destiny of the Jewish people are dependent upon him. So why does it say shall he? So I began to look at it, and I came to a remarkable thing. There are three menachos that you bring. Three meal offerings that are brought by a Kohen. You have a Kohen, and the first time he's going to be initiated into the temple service, into the Avodah Beis HaMikdash. Then he happens to bring a Asiras Eifor, yes, we get a tenth of an Eifor, and that is his Korban Mincha. When that Kohen, let's say, he rises, and he is suddenly appointed and chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, so he also again has to bring a special mincha. Then the Kohen Gadol has to bring a mincha every day that he's a Kohen Gadol. Every service. And it's not one. The difference is between the last one and the first two. The first two he brings them in, so that's enough. Tenth of an ephah. The last one is also a tenth of an ephah. A serious ephah. However, the last one he has to break. Half of it he brings in the morning, and half of it he brings in the afternoon. So, again, that's important. The Kohen Gadol is sick. So the Rambam tells us what happens if they suddenly pick a Kohen who never was in the temple before, and he decided that he's going to become the Kohen Gadol. So now one day, he has to bring three sacrifices. He has to bring one sacrifice to initiate him as a Kohen. Right after that, he brings another sacrifice to initiate him as a Kohen Gadol. And right after that, he brings in the sacrifice he has to do in order to do the Avodah. He brings half the same ephah, but he divides it in half at the beginning of the day and half at the end of the day. So he has to bring three things. Now, we know one thing. What happens if a Kohen, a plain, ordinary Kohen, comes into the Mikdash, base of Mikdash, and he this is the first time he's in the base of Mikdash, and he never really was initiated formally for bringing the Mincha. He wasn't initiated. And he started to do the work. Nobody stopped him. And he brought a cover. Or he was Bakhtir. He put on the frankincense. Whatever it was, he did it. Is that service Sheru or not? Or do you have to do it all over again? So there's no question, if you look in Gemara, it's Sheru. So we find in those two cases that even if he didn't, he wasn't initiated, Avodoso Sheru. Friends. However, when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, we have a tremendous machlokes. Not in the Gemara necessarily. There are four places in the Gemara, in our Torah Shebaal Peh, that came from the Talmudic times. Four places. And those places talk about this. And in one place it says Psula. You have it, it's in the Sifra. It's in the Yerushalmi. It's in the Tosefta. And it's in the Maseches Chagiga. And you find in one place it says Shera, it may say one or two places, and one place, there are two places it says Psula. So no one knows. It's contradictory. They're talking about the same halacha, and yet contradictory. So the Vilna Gaon comes along, and he changes. Wherever it says Shera, he says Psula. Wherever it says Shera, he says Psula. Because he wanted to smooth it all out, that it should cohere and should be consistent. The Malbim, however, he comes along, he changes all the places and says Psula, and he makes it Shera. So you have a fundamental question here. And that question is, when a Kohen Gadol does Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't do that day his Mincha Seifa, which he has to do every day, half in the morning and half at night, is Avodasa Shera or not? So according to the Goyim, it's Psula, it's not Shera. According to the Malbim, it's Shera, it's kosher. So I wrote in my article, this is, I'm telling you a story, unbelievable. I wrote the article, I gave it, I said, from my point of view, I have no doubt that the Malbim is right here. He doesn't bring the Goyim, since he was 50 years after the Goyim, maybe the book hadn't reached him or whatever it was, he doesn't mention the Goyim at all. That the Malbim is right, because it says in the Rambam, they're all interpreting the Rambam. What does the Rambam mean? And this way, so the Rambam uses the word Sheh. So I said, Sheh, if it impacts upon, the Kohen Gadol impacts upon the whole Jewish people. So if he didn't bring the Mincha, then his Karbanos wouldn't be good. It's on Yom Kippur, and he goes to the Fa'alat Nim, he goes into the inner sanctuary, and he didn't bring the Mincha. So then it's not Avodas Psula. All the Jewish people are endangered and imperiled. So I said, it can't be that way. If we say, it has to be Sheh, that's why he says Sheh. Sheh means it's Sheh anyway. So since it's Sheh, we're not really dependent. The Jewish people are not dependent if he took it or not. It's his personal mitzvah. It's his own personal mitzvah. Because he can, if he didn't do it, the carbon is still good for all of us. The carbon he brings to Klal Yisrael. And if you said that that he has to do it, then it had to be Lib. It couldn't be. So on that basis alone I said it. But I couldn't find any proof for it. And I wrote in the article that I had no proof for it. After we gave it to the editor, the student, I don't remember who he was at that time, it's about 20 years ago. After we gave it to the editor, I was walking in the Gottesman Library. And I saw a carol in the Gottesman Library. And there were many books in the carol. And one of them, I couldn't believe it, because I didn't have at that time the most important enterprise of the Rambam in the last century was, of course, the Frankel Rambam. And at that time, 20 years in, you can check it. The volume that had to do with Karbonos, with sacrifice, with Avodah, and with the Kohanim and everything else, had not come out. So I suddenly walk around, and I see they have a brand new Frankel, it's an Avodah. So I open it up right away, and I'm startled to see that he found the Ratzvaz, who's one of the great commentators, that we don't have the entire Rambam, we have like the Gesed Mishnah, but the Rambam, we have them in many Rambam. We didn't find all the things. So he found the Ratzvaz, and that was became a main commentary of his. And the Ratzvaz also had the status of being a Rishon, to boot. The Gesed Mishnah is only a transitional figure. He's the Beis Yosef, so he's a Rishon Achron. But the Ratzvaz, there's some people who want to say the Ratzvaz is also a bit of an Achron. But certainly, he's a Rishon. And then he brings on the side, and he says specifically, and what happens if the Kohen Gadol did not bring his Asir Seifor? He didn't bring his Asir Seifor? It's kosher anyway, it's Kshedra, he says. So that's the first time we got somebody from that far, and one of the great commentators on it. But more importantly, the Frankel Rambam, right next to it, brought a Meiri, and says, the Meiri, we didn't have the Meiri. The Meiri only came out in the last century, most of the Meiris. That the Meiri says the same. So we would never have known this. So I was right, that it said, Shem. I gave this year an abbreviated version of it to the Kol Olyon this year. And after I finished giving it to the Kol Olyon, so one of the boys in Kol Olyon gets up, he says, Rabbi, that's all right, but don't you have a problem, because you have, I don't know where it is here, but it should be here. It says, Chiyasid, you have there about the...
Yeah, the next one.
The last one. Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is certainly central to Jewish people. They're our whole lives, our whole future. And that, of that year, certainly, is a pendant. And it says over here, Mitzvah Asei Achas, Vihi Shiyase Maisi Yom Kippur, Kulo Ala Seder, Kumo Shekosu V'Parshas Achrei Mos. HaKabonos V'Aviduyim. There it says that he should make the Yom Kippur, and there's a Sheh. How can you have a Sheh that all Israel hangs on that, on Yom Kippur? What do we have before Yom Kippur? So when I looked it over, I read it, and I think there's no question in my mind. That's not Sheh Yasser. It is here the Nifal. The reflexive passive. That's the way it is. Reflexive passive. I think that most of you know what Nifl is. I don't know if you know what reflexive passive is. But it's the same thing. Reflexive passive. And which means it's Sheyo Oste. And we say it in Davening, and we say it in Rosh Hashanah, Sheyo Oste Kulam Aguda Achas. We don't say Sheyo Oste Kulam Aguda. That it should emerge out of it. So there's no commandment. How do I know that? Because in that whole mitzvah, there's no real commandment of anybody to do anything. He just says that everything should be done as it's supposed to be done. There's no command. It doesn't command anybody to do anything. So it's not Sheyaseh, but it is Sheyaseh. Okay. Now we'll come to the halacha part. At the beginning, I don't know if you have it here yet. You should have it here. Okay. We'll start at the bottom of page 7. In the older Masorim, when they took out the Sefer Torah, they told the people to go out and say, "Oh, Zeru Latzadik Ulishrei Lev Simcha." And I'm going to talk about Tshuva too in this matter. "Oh, Zeru Latzadik Ulishrei Lev Simcha." In the Birnbaum Masorim, you know, for about 40 years, the Birnbaum Masorim held sway in most of the congregations, most of Orthodox congregations. And for some reason, he removed the Ozerul. It's really not a tefillah. People took out the Sefer Torah, said Ozerul Atzadik. The younger ones didn't know that you had to say Ozerul Atzadik because they were using the Birnbaum Masorim. But now that Art Scroll came back, and he put his back like Teres Yoshna, the glory of past days, we have again Ozerul Atzadik of Yisrael Lev Simcha. So I once heard, and based on this, I'm going to build what I want to build. We had a great Rebbe here. Before I tell you that, I just tell you about Shapsi Frankel. You know, I tell you, I got to Shamsi Franco. I forgot to tell you his story. It's a beautiful story. That same year, after I saw the Franco, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and a friend of mine, his nephew, who you remember, Zev Hochstein, maybe you remember. So a friend of his niece or nephew was getting married, and he saw I was in Yerushalayim, and he asked me to come. So I came to the wedding, and he placed me at a table of rabbis, all rabbis. I didn't know who these rabbis were. I was sitting next to an old rabbi, bent over, stooped over. And one of the other rabbis says, "Atah Rav Chalap, you're Rabbi Chalap." I said, "Yes." He said, "This old man looks at me. He is like Rav Chalap? You're Rabbi Chalap?" So I said, "Who are you?" He said, "Shapsi Franklin." He was 94 years old. He looked at me, and he was a very good friend of my father, Olav Ashon, in 60 years, and I remember him. I didn't, because when we used to go to Far Rockaway, today you won't know it, there were two hotels where all the religious Jews used to go to Far Rockaway. You've got to be as old as me to know these two hotels. So I don't think there's anybody here that old. But however, there was the Gennadin Hotel, which became the St. Joseph Hospital, and that was the better hotel, that's where we stood. And then there was the Hirsch Hotel, which is nearer to the water, was a little less. Shapsi Franco stayed in the Hirsch, and my father, there were a lot of other rabbanim there. So my father used to visit him, and he was at that time, I was a little boy, 8, 9 years old, and he would speak about the Rambam, and he was very close, and he used to visit my father, maybe for 2 years, I remember, because we used to go every summer for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we used to. And so he looked at me suddenly. He said to me, "Rabbi Chalap," in Yiddish he was talking to me, he said, "How come I haven't seen any of your articles? I always used to look forward to your articles, to your Ma'amarim. You haven't written in 30 years or 25 years at that time. What happened?" And then he looks at me. He says, "It garnished gelted. You didn't get older. You're exactly the same as you were then." This is a true story. So then, of course, I had to tell him, unfortunately, my father was dead already about 25 years. And that's why I didn't see any Ma'amarim. And that... And I was older than my father was when he saw my father. Because my father was, I estimated when he saw it, that I was about 41. And I don't. And he was 94, because he died the next year. And then when he heard this, he was startled. He was amazed when I told him about the Kotarim, the importance of headings. He said, "Do you know that the Rambam had headings, which I could not find. I don't think it's true. But I said, the Rambam has three headings. He repeats the headings three times." He says, after he finishes every sefer, he repeats the headings as a summation, the sachako. And he said, "We just left it out. We decided, because in none of the Rambams do you find it. So we decided we'll leave it out. Because it was a word for word that we did find some exceptions, but we didn't think they made any difference. But the way you said it, it makes a big difference. Send me the mimer." I sent him the mimer. He never responded to it. And then he died within a year or so. And he was 95 or 96 years old. Okay, now we come to this. Why do we begin... I think that was better than the whole dress, you know. So why do we begin with all the rule at Tzadik L'Shalev? There are various reasons given, but the reason I'm giving you, I saw only one place, and I want to give credit to that man. And that man was the Rebbe of Rabbi Dobinsky, Rabbi Aaron Dovier, in his Sefer. He brings this, and that's a tremendous dress. It's probably the best dress he has in the Sefer. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to tell this one word. Rabbi Akiva, he says, and you know, when you listen, when you hear a great rabbi, and a great, he was Rosh Yeshiva 47 years. And he started when he was about 25 or 23. Because he died, he was 65, 64, he died young. And he says, Rabbi Akiva, he says, Urza Ruhl, like Tzadik, if you take the Sefer Tavis, the last letters of those words, or, what is the last letter of our Reish? Zeruah, it's Ayin. Or Zeruah Latzadik is Kuf. Ulishrei, that's Yud. Lev is Vez. Simcha is Hey. It's Rebbe Akiva. So I right away thought, Rebbe Akiva, when I saw it, what he wrote. We know we spell Rebbe Akiva Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Aleph, not Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Hey. So you just want to ignore that little thing. Why should a one letter disturb him? That's how he thought. And then I happen to be doing a Yerushalmi, I before noted. I came to Rabbi Akiva. In Yerushalmi, Rabbi Akiva is spelled Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Hey. In Yerushalmi, in a Bavli, it's spelled Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Aleph. And we follow that. That's an amazing. So it was right, Rabbi Akiva. And if it's Rabbi Akiva, we understand why we begin. Because the greatest exemplification of Baal Tshuva in history is Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva has a special relationship to Yom Kippurim. Whether he was martyred in Yom Kippurim or not, some traditions say he was martyred in Yom Kippurim. That's what we have in the Asara Harugei Malchus. We know that all of them weren't martyred in Yom Kippurim. There were different times and different ages. But they say that he was martyred in Yom Kippurim. But he was that young man of 40 years old, didn't know Aleph Beis. He was a shepherd. He was already married. And suddenly he sees a young lady. His heart is taken entirely by her. He's absolutely smitten. Auf alle gesorgt. Did you get that?
Can you please explain it?
And it was unbelievable. And then he saw this lady, and this lady said, but you have to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to learn. So and I'm going to see who Rabbi Akiva was before this. And he changes entirely. We say you can't teach an old dog. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And it's the same with us. I don't care what level you are, you can be nearly in Tzadik Hador. But the next year, you're almost the same thing. You didn't go that inch higher. You're at a certain level. There are some Baalei Tshuva, and we have them in this yeshiva, and they are really something I can't understand. I was lucky I was born this way. I must tell you, I don't know if I would have been able to do what you did. But to be able to change entirely from the exact opposite I'm going to show you, and to become a Rabbi Akiva, that's really love. And I'm going to tell you something. The Gemara says, and I brought the Gemara Zam. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva went to all his Talmidim. Kishayisi Amoritz, Amarti, when I was in Amoritz, I said, Mi tenli Talmud Chacham. Oh, who give me Talmud Chacham? I'm looking for Talmud Chacham. Vachachenu Kachamor, and I will bite him like a donkey, like a mule. Amulo Talmidos, a student, said to him, Rebbe, and Rabbi Akiva, why bite him as a monkey? You should say you bite him as a dog. We all talk about a dog bite. Why is a monkey? And he said to them, Amar Lahan. He said, Zeh no sheikh v'shover etzim. When a donkey or a mule bites you, he breaks your bones. And when a killer bites you, he only gives you a bite. He doesn't break your bones. And I wanted to break their bones. I wanted them to be bitten and their bones broken. That's how he hated the Talmud Chacham. And then go to the next Gemara. When he becomes Rabbi Akiva. Shimon Ha'amus Amsuni, and the Gemara says maybe Nechemiah Amsuni, Hayadorish Kolesim Etorah. One time, people didn't know, you have the many times the word S, it's a transitive or intransitive. S. And nobody knew what the word S meant, it didn't mean anything. It's just, in the language, you have to use the word S to make a sentence a sentence. You have to use the word S. And whatever it is. And he said that no, every letter, every tittle in the Torah has meaning. And we have to find a meaning for every S. This Shimon Amsuni. Kevin Shigir, when he came to the Pasuk in Dvorim, Le'es Arishem Elokecha, Tira, that you should fear the Lord. He didn't know what to do with the word S. He said, I can't, there can be nobody with God. I can't add anything to it. God is all by himself. I can't add anything to it. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Kishem Shigibalti Schar al Adrisha, Kachani Mikabel Shamani. Just as I got a schar to give a drasha, to explain, I'll get a schar for not saying anything. I don't want to touch this. It's too incendiary to touch this. How can I begin to say to somebody who can be with God somehow? So at Shibor Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came along and said, V'dosh es ha'reshem elokecho tirah. L'rabos talmidei chachamim. Es ha'reshem elokecho, the word es comes that you have to love not only Hashem, but you have to love a talmid chacham too. Now listen to this. It's a remarkable change. But the most remarkable thing is, according to the laws of tshuva, one must, and the Rambam says it very expressly. If I did tshuva in Chil Shabbos, so I have to have the temptation to work on Shabbos. I said, now I'm going to become a Baal Tshuva. I'm not going to work on Shabbos. And then I have a temptation to work on Shabbos. Or I have a World Series or a game with the Yankees. I have it in my shul, no. And then not in the shul. The Bronx it used to be. But unfortunately, we don't have any more Jews in the Bronx. In my part of the Bronx. But when it came, a Yankee game with the Yankees and Boston Red Sox.
The Bronx.
What?
We're
It's riveting. So, you're forgiven. He said, Rabbi, I want to see the Yankee Red Sox game. It's important. Or World Series. That's really important. And you have to see. You have to have that temptation. And you went last year to the Yankee Red Sox game. But this Shabbos, you're not going to get the Red Sox game. That's it. You have to be tested and say that if you're wayward in other ways, you have to be tested exactly the same. That's what happened here to Rabbi Akiva. I don't see anybody, but that's Pashtus. He was the one who, more than anybody else, he symbolized hatred for Talmidei Chachamim. He wanted them to be bitten by a donkey who wasn't enough by a dog. And their bone, every bone in their body should be broken. So he's the one who teaches us. No one else could touch that Esar Hashem Elokecha Tira. Only Rabbi Akiva says, you have to learn Talmidei Chachamim. Is that a change? That's the change. I want to tell you another thing. You don't have it here, but I'll tell you. You know, right after we have the Or Zerul at Tzadik Yishalei Simchot, we have Yeshiva Shemalor, Yeshiva Shematur, yes, Yeshiva Shemalor, yes, Yeshiva Shematur, should allow us to be Matir, they should allow us to daven together with the Abayanim, those who transgress God's laws. Who come to Yom Kippur in the shul. Have you ever heard anybody being thrown out? I can get the worst man walking to shul on any Shabbos, any time. Do I have to ask a heter to let him sit in the shul? So there were a lot of talk that the bezin put him in the new there, whatever, all kinds of answers. What are we talking about over here? Another question is, why did he use the term Avayonim? All of Yom Kippur, we use the term Hosheya, Chote. That's what a sitter is. Why are we using the term Avayonim here? Because it seems to me what we're saying is, and that's why we say it, right after Rabbi Akiva, we say, be a smart here. We want to make this point that the Dhamma Devar, who is an Avayon? In Avayon, you have the echo of an Ivri. Maybe 25% of Jews go to any kind of synagogue, temple, anything on Yom Kippur. When a Jew comes to Shul on Yom Kippur, there may be the only day, and he may only come in for a Kol Nidre, or for Yisro, whatever it is. He's an Avayon, but an Avayon has the echo of Ivri. And Ivri is part of Yom Kippur, therefore we read the Mafke Yonah. Ivri Anozi. Avayon. So when can he say that? Right after all Zerul HaTzadik Yisrael Tzifor. After you think about Rabbi Akiva, who wanted to kill every Talmud Chacham in sight, and now he was hungry, he said, bring me a Talmud Chacham, so I can beat him up. It's this same Rabbi Akiva who said, as a younger, so you know you have to welcome everybody in. So that's the reason we say, be yeshiva shamalo, be yeshiva shamato, to highlight this. That's the point. And now I want you to go to the last page. And I'm a little... The Rabbi Yehovah Shuvah said something remarkable. And with this, in half hour, we'll be end. Kol Hanaviim Kulam. This is the Yehovah Shuvah, Perek Zayin Halacha Hei. Kol Hanaviim Kulam. Tzivu Tzivu Ala Tshuva. All the Nevi'im, Tzivu, they commanded us about that we have to do Tshuva. All the Nevi'im. Ben Yisrael, where is this?
Which Rambam?
I went to Rambam in Malachim. In Tshuva, the last Rambam in Tshuva, in Perek Yud Beis.
Number six?
Okay. Rambam Hilchos Malachim, yeah, Perek Yud Beis. So the Rambam took, that has to do with the Mashiach, I did. Huh? I don't see it. Okay. Thank you very much. Bill Schubert. Okay, so last page. The cake said, you have to love God. And he took this is the last part of Tshuva. You have to love God. Haruya, that is a proper and appropriate love. Hu shiye ehov, or shiye ehav, eshad Hashem. And the modern Hebrew, I think, says sheyoav, eshad Hashem. Havagdola, great love. Yesera, an excessive love. Azov, powerful. Hachitei nafsho k'shur b'havas Hashem, until his soul is bound up to the love of God. V'nimsa shogei b'atamid, and he only thinks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki'ilu chole chole, he's lovesick. He was profoundly stricken by lovesickness. Ki'ilu chole chole ha'ava. His mind, he can't think about anything. Just like a man falls madly in love, obsessionably in love with a woman, he's got to be in love with God. And he uses the term, it's unbelievable, the description here. The love of that woman. Who showed it? When he only thinks about it, he can't stop thinking about it. Ben b'shita, when he's sitting down. Ben b'kumo, when he gets up. Ben b'shoshu, when he's eating. And every moment of his life, he's obsessed with that woman. That's what Rambam said, not Rambam said. And that's the way you have to love God. And then he says, "Tiyah avas Hashem b'levo avav shogim b'tamid k'moshet tivanu v'chol levavacha v'chol nafshecha v'hu she Shlomo Amar." That's what Shlomo said. Derech Lashon as a parable, the Shir Hashirim, "Ki cholas ava ani," that I'm lovesick. V'chol Shir Hashirim, and all Shir Hashirim. Mushal who minions there. Why is Shir Hashirim written almost, some people say, almost erotically? And they don't understand it. Why is it done that way? It's done that way because, and the problem is, you know why we don't have children today? How many people really fall so madly in love today? It's not a romantic age. If we knew how to fall in love with a woman, we probably know how to fall in love with God. We love our woman, we love our wife. And today we ought not to say that. But that's what he's saying over here. You have to know it. We don't even know it. We don't feel it. That's an amazing thing. And who was the one that said Shir Hashirim? And that was the greatness of that Shir Hashirim, which many people had questions about, and even in the Mishnah had questions about it. And he said, everything else in the Torah is only Kodesh. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kedoshim, is the Holy of Holies. Who said that? Rabbi Akiva. So the whole question of tshuva b'ahava is only in Shir Hashirim. Is Rabbi Akiva, that it's Kodesh Kedoshim. Amar Sima Tov to everybody.